Good morning, church.
Morning.
Welcome and thank you for joining us as we celebrate the seventh Sunday of Easter today. What a beautiful day to celebrate and praise God's name. A few announcements before we get started. I want to continue to thank all of you who participated in Sweep the Streets. We still have one more night where you can help out with that tonight. It's been so wonderful to see so many people show up and help out with that. It really makes the process go quick and smooth. Also, don't forget, we're only a few weeks away from our Strawberry Festival, which will be Saturday, June 11th from 4 to 7. Volunteers are needed to serve and provide supplies in the narthex. Once again, the reminder is this year will be drive-up only as we welcome people. And also, as we get closer to summer, Brown Bag and Big Ideas will return beginning in June and July on Mondays beginning June 6th from noon to 1 p.m. at Tuscora Park. So if you're interested in being a part of that group, we always have a good discussion, a good meal, and just an opportunity to just have some good Christian fellowship with one another. Excuse me. Trumpet in the Land, I got an email from them this week. They're working together to put a chorus for this summer's production of Trumpet in the Land. The music is comprised of hymns, so it will be familiar musical language for most choir people. And we are looking for all parts, but especially tenors and basses. Rehearsals begin on June 6th and then conclude on August 20th. They're flexible with scheduling conflicts, and anyone who signs on will be compensated $170 a week. So if anyone is interested, they can reach out to the general manager of Trumpet in the Land for further details on that. It's always great to see some Moravians in that production. I think they do allow youth in that choir as well. So please reach out if you're interested in that. And then VBS is just around the corner. It is June 27th to June 30th. It will be from 9 in the morning to noon at Sharon Moravian. What we're doing is a combined VBS this year with three or four different churches. I actually have sign-up sheets for you in the narthex. The reason for that is we have a mission team from Freedburg, North Carolina, which is coming up with 12 or 13 people, and they really wanted to put together a VBS for our county. We all got on board with that. So if you're interested in doing that or helping out with that, please let us know. One thing I would ask, if you hear, I know we usually do ours at evening every year. We're switching this to morning. So if transportation happens to be an issue for you or your children, please let us know. The CEC is happy to work together to find a way to resolve that. We would really hate to see a kid not be able to go just because they simply don't have a ride. So we will find a way for them. Please let us know. So as we've gone through the COVID protocols, our elders and I were talking, and it was funny. We were talking about the watchword for the week, and they're like, could we go back to when the congregation says it? And I was like, wait, that's not how we've always done it. Because I've been doing it for so long now, I thought that me reading the watchword of the week was just the way it had always been. My mind had gone that way. So what we're going to return to is saying the watchword of the week as a congregation. So I'm going to invite you to stand, and we will join together in the watchword of the week. Rejoice in the Lord. Oh. Actually, I skipped a step, didn't I? Let us extend the right wave of fellowship then. Good morning. See, this is why Paul is in charge of me. And please remain standing now as we join together in the watchword of the week, Psalm 97, verse 12. Rejoice in the Lord, you who are righteous, and praise his holy name. Amen. Please remain standing as we join together to sing praise to the Lord the Almighty.
Thank you.
pray together the liturgy of intercessions in times of crisis. The reason we're praying this liturgy this week is just thinking of all the difficult situations and circumstances our country have gone through this week. We think especially of mass shootings at Uvalde Elementary in Texas, in Buffalo, New York, in places all across our country. And it feels now is an appropriate time to pray for healing, to pray for reconciliation, and to pray for change in our country. Let us pray. God of mercy, God of comfort, we come before you in this time of difficulty, mindful of human frailty and need, confused and struggling to find meaning in the face of suffering.
We are grateful that even as we share in the joy of Christ Jesus, we can also share abundantly in comfort in the midst of suffering.
For the victims of fire or flood, storms or earthquake, famine or disease, for those whom disaster has left homeless, injured, or bereaved, for refugees and those separated from loved ones, from those killed in mass shootings in Buffalo and Uvalde, for all who are in danger, trouble, or anguish.
We ask the presence and strength of your Spirit.
Give all who suffer the love that bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, and endures all things.
We know that suffering produces endurance. Endurance produces character. Character produces hope. And hope does not disappoint us, because your love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit.
By the support of all who give their strength, their skill, and their stamina in a ministry of mercies,
open our hearts in generosity that we may be partners in their commitment to bring relief.
Where tempers flare and a partisan spirit provokes new hostility, raise up people who have patience and restraint.
Where indifference allows crisis to deepen and suffering to go without relief, awaken deliverers who have zeal.
We pray for those who are engaged in making important decisions in this time, for those who report on these events, and for those who shape public opinion.
Give them the courage to speak out and the strength to listen, that together we may discern the truth and hold the lost in sight.
Take away the temptation to trust in human power and military solutions, and give us the courage to be your servants for the community of nations.
Direct all governments in the way of peace and justice, that your will may be known and done among the nations. Deliver us from the sins which lead to war and conflict, and strengthen within us the will to establish righteousness and justice on the earth.
We are praying for those who are suffering and can make no sense of tragedy.
Help them to turn to the one who
there is no one who is righteous, not even one, for we all have turned away from you. Make us aware of our common need of a Savior and remove from our hearts the pride, ambition, and greed that would lead us to enslave and demean other people.
Have mercy on your whole creation. Hasten the day when the kingdom of the world shall become your kingdom, and by grace make us worthy to stand before you. Amen.
Lord, hear our prayer. At this time, we will hear God's word from Scripture.
First reading today is Acts 16, 16 through 34. Once we were going to the place of prayer, we were met by a female slave who had a spirit by which she predicted the future. She earned a great deal of money for her owners by fortune telling. She followed Paul and the rest of us, shouting, "These men are servants of the Most High God who are telling you the way to be saved." She kept this up for many days. Finally, Paul became so annoyed that he turned around and said to the spirit, "In the name of Jesus Christ, I command you to come out of her." At that moment, the spirit left her. When her owners realized that their hope of making money was gone, they seized Paul and Silas and dragged them into the marketplace to face the authorities. They brought them before the magistrates and said, "These men are Jews who are throwing our city into an uproar by advocating customs unlawful for us Romans to accept or practice." The crowd joined in the attack against Paul and Silas, and the magistrates ordered them to be stripped and beaten with rods. After they had been severely flogged, they were thrown into prison, and the jailer was commanded to guard them carefully. When he received these orders, he put them in an inner cell and fastened their feet and the stocks. About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and other prisoners were listening to them. Suddenly, there was such a violent earthquake that the foundations of the prison were shaken. At once, all of the prison doors flew open, and everyone's chains came loose. The jailer woke up, and when he saw the prison doors open, he drew his sword and was about to kill himself because he thought the prisoners had escaped. But Paul shouted, "Don't harm yourself. We are all here." The jailer called for the lights, rushed in, and fell trembling before Paul and Silas. He then brought them out and asked, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" They replied, "Believe in the Lord Jesus, and you will be saved, you and your household." Then they spoke the word of the Lord to him and to all the others in his house. At that hour of the night, the jailer took them and washed their wounds. Then immediately he and all the other household were baptized. The jailer brought them into the house and set a meal before them. He was filled with joy because he had come to believe in God, he and his whole household. Our second reading is John 17:20-26. My prayer is not for them alone. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message, that all of them may be one, Father, just as you are in me and I am in you. May they also be in us so that the world may believe that you have sent me. I have given them the glory that you gave me, that they may be one as we are one, I in them and you in me, so that they may be brought to complete unity. Then the world will know that you sent me and have loved them even as if you have loved me. Father, I want those you have given to me to be with me where I am and to see my glory, the glory you have given to me because you loved me before the creation of the world. Righteous Father, though the world does not know you, I know you, and they know that you have sent me. I have made you known to them, and I will continue to make you known in order that the love you have for me may be in them, and that I myself may be in them.
Amen. This time we turn to a time of prayer, a time of reflection, a time to uplift joys, and a time to uplift concerns. In our prayers this week, we uplift Robb Elementary in Uvalde, Texas. Our hearts break with this community after 19 students and two teachers were killed in a mass shooting Wednesday. We pray for those grieving, for those injured, for a community that is devastated, for first responders who went above and beyond the call of duty. And most importantly, we pray for God's healing presence to wash over our nation to prevent more of these tragedies. Memorial Day as well. We honor all those this Monday who sacrificed their lives to preserve our freedom that we have today. John 15:13 said, "Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends." So on Monday we will have an extra day of vacation, an extra day of rest, but let's also take some time of reflection as we remember those who made the greatest sacrifice for us, and we give thanks for them. We also offer prayers of sympathy and resurrection hope to the family of Clara Gorby after her passing last week. A memorial service was held on Wednesday. We are grateful. The family wanted to pass along thanks for all of you who attended or participated in that service. It was a wonderful celebration of Clara's life. And prayers of healing and remembrance this week, we uplift the following people: Tammy Bennett, Troy Coventry, Amy Pasquinelli, Michelle Stevens, Corey Beitzel, Dave Poole, Ryan Castor, Linda Bennington, all those who have been afflicted by COVID-19. And we think of all of our refugees coming to or through Ukraine at this time. May God watch over them as well. Let's take some time in silence and invite God in this time of prayer. Gracious God, we are so grateful to feel your presence in our lives and our world. We give thanks for the beautiful weekend that we have, to feel this sunshine coming through our lives and to be a force of light in our lives. Gracious God, we need it. Because there is so much in our world that we are struggling with. Please be with the families of Uvalde, Texas right now. Please be with those families of Buffalo, New York. Be with the people of Ukraine. We know that there is so much difficulty, pain, and hardship in our world. Call us to be your helping hands. Call us to be your servants so we can bring a world that has more healing, more mercy, and more love than it did the day before. Because we know, even on days that are hard to see it, that God's love is growing in our world. Help us to be a part of that solution. And gracious God, we uplift many personal prayers. We think of all those who are undergoing tests, who are battling cancer and are receiving treatments, those who are waiting surgical procedures, those who are unsure of the future, those who are anxious, sad, or depressed. Gracious God, be with them. Help them to know that no matter how heavy the struggle or how big the burden, you, God, will help if we let you in. So help us have the humility to let you into our struggles. And as we enjoy this extra day on Monday, help us to remember that it is not just an extra vacation day, but is a day to give in remembrance of all who have made great sacrifices for our country and for our world. And help us to honor them by cherishing our time with our family, our friends, and our loved ones. Because we know that every single day on this earth that we get to spend with the people we love is truly a blessing from God. So help us to celebrate the many blessings given to us. In your gracious name we pray. Amen. This time we turn our hearts and our minds to a time of offering. There's no plate going back and forth the pews today, but there is a plate in the back for any of you who prefer to make an in-person donation. We continue to thank all of you who give to scmchurch.org. We are grateful for the wonderful stewardship of our church, and we ask that you pay attention to community ministries you can support. I know the Little League project on rebuilding the shed that had burned down is still ongoing, so if you'd like to support that local ministry as well, there's a GoFundMe page I can send you to if you're interested in that. At this time, I invite you to stand as we join together in the offertory prayer. Nice and comfy. So good morning. How you guys doing today? So who's done with school? Who's still got a couple days? Philly kids still got a couple days. When I was your age, believe it or not, I had this hard time in summer. I would get so bored. Would anybody else ever get bored during the summer? Yeah. So what are your go-tos when you guys get bored? What's your first thing you go to? Aubrey? Tablet? Okay. Jameson, how about you? Okay, that's a good one. Nick, do you go? What's your go-to? Video games, Xbox, Rylan. What's that? Think of anything that's not boring. That's a good strategy right there. Brandon, what would you do? You play a game. I also know you would play Battleship too, right? That's one of your go-tos. Jameson, what about you?
My mom
uses mini. Ooh, those are fun too. Yeah, absolutely. What? Okay, so let's say you're 2 weeks into summer and you've done that activity so many times. What would be your backup go-to then? If you couldn't play video games, if you're bored with video games, even believe it or not, that happens sometimes. Ryan, what would you do? So you can play basketball. Ask your parents to move the cart. What would you do, Nick?
Golf.
Golf. That's a good one. Brandon, how about you? Baseball. Yeah, absolutely.
Basketball.
I love basketball, shooting hoops. Aubrey, what would you do? Throw softball or baseball with our parents. Absolutely. Nick, what would you?
Fish.
That's a good one. I did not have the patience for that at your age. I was a terrible pitcher, to be honest. And I'm still not very good. I'm usually better in a kayak than I am in a fishing boat. Yeah, Jameson? Okay, that's a good one. So what we're talking about today is Paul and Silas. They were jailed for sharing the gospel of Jesus. And so they had to go to jail for that, which was a very big deal. Still is a big deal today. And so when they were in jail, what activities do you think they could do there? Could they golf? No? No baseball? I guarantee there are no video games there. Excuse me. Yeah, that's a possibility. What they had to do is what they focused their time on energy. You know what they did? They prayed to God and they sung hymns. They sung songs. And when they shared those songs and hymns of praise, how do you think that impacted the other people in the jail? What's that, Nick? Confused a little bit? How would you feel if you were in a very sad place and you heard somebody singing joyful music? Would that lift your spirits up?
Yeah,
it would help you feel better because they did what they could do in that moment. They shared the gospel. And then a huge earthquake came and hit their jail and opened up their cells. And you know what they did? They ran into the person who was in charge of their jail cell. And how do you think that person, the jailer, felt in that moment? If you saw a bunch of prisoners break free from your jail, how would you feel? You're about to get fired in 2 seconds. Yeah, that's probably the best case scenario right there. He was scared out of his mind. But Paul and Silas, guess what they did? They protected him. They prayed with him. And they ultimately baptized him and helped his family have that joyful, wonderful, loving experience. So I want you guys to remember that because you're getting ready to start summer. And there's going to be times where you're bored, and then you're going to go to your go-to activity, and you're going to be bored with those. Then you're going to go to your secondary activity, and you're going to be bored with those. But if you have God in your life, if you're able to sing songs of joy and pray prayers of joy, you are never too bored. You're never too old, or you're never too young to experience how much God loves you. And you can share that in all circumstances, no matter how bored, how difficult, or crazy it gets. Amen. Let's get in a circle and pray, if that's okay with y'all. We'll go around our... let's see, Stretch Armstrong right there. There we go. All right, let's pray. Gracious God, we ask that you uplift these kids and just remind them that they are loved and made in the image of God. Help them to just have wonderful summers, to not be too bored, and help them to know that they can trust in you even in the difficult times, and that you, God, will be with them. So help them to have joyous, God-filled, and wonderful summers. In your name we pray. Amen. Thank you all very much. You can head back. Let us pray. Gracious God, open our hearts, our minds, and our ears to the message that you have to say to us, and just fill us with mercy and love and pursuit of the gospel in our hearts. In your name we pray. Amen. I wish I could stand before you as your pastor today and give you easy answers for how we can fix the violence and pain that afflicts our world right now. I wish I could go to Denny and Paul in the back and I could put 5 or 6 PowerPoint slides up there that would tell you the magic bullet cure to all the mass shootings in our country. But I have got no magic bullet as I stand before you, no easy solutions to promise. And in fact, I'm ashamed to share with you that when I first heard the news of mass shootings in Uvalde, Texas, and Buffalo, New York, not too long ago, I was completely numb. I didn't feel anything at all. And I think it was somewhere after Sandy Hook a couple years ago that I started trying to subconsciously shield myself from all this violence that was happening in our world. And somewhere along the line, I ran out of the emotional energy to invest heavily in every tragedy that happens. There are just too many in our country. I actually read this poignant statement from Nadia Boltz-Weber today. She says, "I'm saying, if your circuits are overwhelmed, it's not because you are heartless. It's because these are times where not a human heart on this planet can bear all that is happening right now. We all feel overwhelmed. We all feel numb. So in order to survive all that is happening around us, we are forcing ourselves to see victims as statistics and newspaper headlines. Because a number on a page is far easier to manage than seeing over and over again precious children of God are being robbed of their future. And as much as we try to shield ourselves, we must remember that every statistic has a story and purpose that matters to God. That is why every life lost, no matter how numb we feel, should still matter to us. What is clear to us right now is that thoughts and prayers, just thoughts and prayers, are not working anymore. Much like the jailer in this passage with Paul and Silas, we need to humbly get on our knees and pray to God for our country. What must we do to be saved? That should be the question humbly on our lips this week. What must we do to be saved? And those prayers that we offer need to be active prayers. They need to be more than words. They need to be actions that we are willing to follow through, that we are willing to follow through with long after the popular thing to do is to share a social media post about, or a prayer for a mass shooting. In fact, some leaders have gotten so bad that they are literally saving mass shooting prayers in their drafts and just changing the name of the city when the next one comes along. Words are not enough anymore. And my personal feeling right now is we just need to be done with politics in this country. Because I'm done with solutions that are proposed by Democrats. I'm done with solutions that are proposed by Republicans. Look back in our history of our country right now. Columbine happened in 1999. It has been 23 years of bloodshed, and Washington, D.C. is still walking in circles. They have failed us. And that also, we need to be accountable to that as well. Because the definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over and expecting different results. That means we as an American people need to be accountable for the failures of Congress and not just merely take the easy road out and point fingers at people. Because we live in a country where we have a voice in this process. And if our legislators are apathetic to the suffering of our children, it only happens because we the people allow it to be. We have the power to create the change we want to see. And just like the jailer in this story, whose only prayer that separated him from death and suffering was "help me," we too have to be washed over and made anew by the love of Christ. And when we enter into conversations about stopping violence and hatred in our country, let us check our politics at the door and enter those conversations as human beings driven by the love of God for this world. Because our agenda and politics are only enslaving us to shout talking points at one another. The things we see on our Facebook memes or we see on Fox or MSNBC, and we shout these things at each other and at the people we disagree with, and at the end of the day, we leave no common sense solutions that could make a difference to be acted on. Those common sense solutions feel like they are a million miles away from us when we just keep shouting the same things at one another. So let's change the way we talk to each other in this country. Let's start talking with each other as a nation that wants solutions. Let us care, dialogue, and most importantly, act on all perspectives at the table. Let's discuss how we can increase mental health services for teens and young adults in our country. Too many youth in our country are not receiving support or medication before they become a danger to themselves or to other people. And instead of talking with national organizations like the NRA, we should talk to reasonable gun owners about gun safety changes and laws our country could make that would not just look good on paper or make us feel good about passing a law, but could actually help keep our children safer. Because we have to wake up. Liberals right now have been programmed to believe that most conservatives care about guns more than children. And we know that's a lie. We know that's a lie. But conservatives have also been programmed to believe that most liberals want to take away weapons that are used for hunting and sporting purposes. That is a lie as well. So right now, you have 90% of the people in our country in the middle looking to work together, looking to come together. But what's happening is people are taking those extreme opinions on the edge and throwing them at one another. And we're forgetting that many of us have common ground in our country that we can work for. Because all sides want to improve the safety of our children. So that means we have got to stop being distracted by false stereotypes of people who think differently than us and realize that all of us, Democrats, Republicans, Independents, all people are capable of working towards this common goal. Because no one is winning the political argument right now between Democrats and Republicans. But one thing is clear, our children are losing. So brothers and sisters, God needs us to be his hands and feet in this world. So let us show the world that there is an alternative to playing the partisan blame game. Because I'm sure you, like me, don't have the strength to argue about these issues anymore. Christ is calling us to build bridges in our world that unite us, not walls that separate us. And the honest truth is we will never fully cure mass violence, but we can definitely be better as a country and as a world. We are capable of conversations and changes in this country that can make a difference. And I believe that with my whole heart. So let us focus in these coming days on solutions that put the safety of our children first. Let us no longer see the people that we disagree with as false stereotypes, but as holy people made in the image of God who just see things differently than us. Let us show a world that thinks stopping violence in the United States is beyond hopeless, that nothing in this world is beyond God's redemption. Nothing is beyond God's help. Nothing is beyond our ability to be God's hands and feet. So today we pray. We've prayed a lot of prayers for healing in this country. And let our prayers from this sanctuary be seen in our actions as we hope to build a different world, a Christ-like world around us. So may our prayers be our actions and our calling today. Amen. Let's pray. Gracious God, we come before you and we realize we just have so much stress and anxiety about the future of our world right now. Our hearts are with the people of Uvalde, and just call us to be your disciples, to serve you. And let's stop being drubbed down by political arguments and start building up each other in the kingdom of God. Because there are many people who have different opinions than us, but gracious God, first and foremost, help us to remember all of us want a safe world for our children. All of us want to see mass violence be curbed. All of us are capable of being your hands and feet and building this Christ-like world that you call us to do. So may our prayers today turn into actions of grace and mercy for you. In your blessed and gracious name we pray. Amen. And for our final hymn today, we will do In the Bulb There Is a Flower, which I think reminds us that there's hope in all circumstances. Please rise.